listening to the CCA Podcast.
We want to welcome you to church on a Sunday morning. We want to welcome you to Calvary on a Sunday morning. Best place to be right here, right? Sure, we vote with our feet, so you're obviously here, so you think that. Hey, listen, this morning we are excited. We are excited to be here with you, and I do want to just start by saying Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the house. William said upstairs, we got to the joy of meeting the class upstairs. He said earlier this morning, he says, even if you're not a father, you have a father. And right, so we appreciate dads this morning. I want to just take 2 seconds. My dads, plural, are here this morning. Would you both stand up? This is my dad right here, Robert Bunbury, and this is my dad-in-law right here, Bob Edgerlin. And I just want to say thank you, not just for everything you generously do, but for who you genuinely are in my life, and I love you, and I want to publicly acknowledge you for doing that. Love you guys so much, okay? And we have a picture we want to show you. We want to introduce you to our family. We can't wait to get to know you a little bit. I'm going to let Linnea introduce you to our kids.
Hi, everybody. So we have been married for 18 years, and we have 3 awesome, world-changing kids. Our oldest is Bryce. He is 17, just graduated last night from Edmonds Woodway High School. And a year early at that, so we're just so proud. Also, it's been a huge week for us. And then we have Gavin Bunbury, our 10-year-old fourth grader. He just broke his pinky this week at recess. He was playing this game called Gaga Ball, which is a... Okay, someone knew that. Cool. I have never. So he's like basically in this octagon, and it's like picture wall ball and dodgeball combined, I guess. So anyway, he gets on the ground. Some kid steps on his pinky. It goes backward, breaks, and he goes, ouch. And then he continues playing until he's out, like... He's like, why race a good round? So he still keeps playing, and then later says, like, I think I broke it. So he's awesome. And then Lily is our 5-year-old. She just graduated from preschool earlier this week. So we have a huge week of events, and it's been amazing. And we're so blessed to be here and share this time with you.
Awesome. Thank you. So you're going to be able to hear a little bit more from my beautiful wife. Next week, we're going to be sharing the pulpit at a point in the message. And so don't miss next week and invite a friend. If you live next to somebody who needs to be in church, what better way to bring them than on these beautiful Seattle days, right? Go celebrate and have lunch after together. And we're just blessed to be here. This morning, I wanted to share with you, just speak on the subject of Jesus, our help for today, and our hope for tomorrow. Would you pray with me this morning one more time? God, we love you. We ask your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, I ask that every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place, under the sound of my voice, Lord, as they're hearing me, they would hear you. As they see me, they would see you. As they experience my presence, they would experience your presence. Lord, may this be a word from you. May this not just be an encouragement, but may this be, God, a Spirit-led, Holy Ghost-empowered word from on high. Lord, use your word, which you promised would never return void. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 21 is where we're going to be looking this morning. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Gospels that have been written of long ago. John 21 has impacted me. And have you ever been in a time of study, if you've been a Christian for an amount of time, where you just get stuck in a chapter? You just keep revisiting that chapter in your devotions, in your morning time, your evening time, whenever you read the Bible. This is one of those chapters for me. And this story is so powerful because it starts with the narrative of all hope had been lost, really. All hope had been lost for this individual. He had spent the last few years with Jesus but was now left with absolutely nothing to show for it. His dreams were destroyed. Hopes had been dashed to pieces. Jesus, the one in whom he had given his life and followed, was now gone. And worst of all, he had denied his Lord, not once or twice, but three times. Discouraged, depleted, depressed, alone. And that tragic night, it was forever etched in his memory. He had renounced Jesus to the girl at the door who recognized him. Aren't you one of those? Aren't you one of those disciples? Don't you follow him? Oh, the terror of that horrific night in the high priest Caiaphas's quarters as he warmed himself by the fire. This is a statue of that encounter. We had the benefit of going to Israel, my wife and I, about a year and a half ago. And this is Caiaphas's quarters. This is where the story I'm unpacking with you, this is the beginning of where that happened. This is where the denial happened. And you have the animal on top representing the rooster that crows. And he's warming himself by the fire. We recount, as you look at this piece of art, his denying of Jesus, the one whom he had said he would do anything for, and he would never leave. This is that scene. Peter recounts denying Jesus. As the girl asks him, Peter says, "I'm not one of those. I'm not one of his. I don't even know the man." Those are the very words that haunt him, like a nightmare that won't end. And that look on Jesus' face as they caught eyes and the rooster crowed. How could I have done this? How could I have denied the one I said I'd follow? Feeling totally and completely disqualified, like there was nothing left to live for, hopeless Peter gathers a few of the other disciples and drifts back into the only thing that he knew would bring him comfort, fishing. Anybody in here like fishing? A few of us, maybe? My grandfather taught me how to fish. Now, these days, I just go to Costco to get my fish. It was a cry for help. You've got a feeling this morning, I want to help you along. A cry for help is our first point this morning. All night they had fished. You open John chapter 1 and you read, all night they had fished, catching absolutely nothing. Have you ever had an all night with nothing experience? I'm talking about like anxious thoughts, tossing and turning, toiling only to wake up more worried. Have you ever been discouraged or at the end of your rope? I found it doesn't matter how old or young we are, experienced or unexperienced, hopelessness can visit each of us in that dark hour. You ever been tired, broken, angry, maybe feeling alone like Peter did, stuck in the wake of a bad break? Let me tell you this. I got to be real. Can I be real? It wasn't too long ago, my wife and I, our family, we had gone through a really bad break. And we've looked at each other and we just found ourselves thinking, why? How? We didn't expect this. Have you ever asked those questions? Have you ever asked the why question? Why? Why did this happen? Me? Really? It was a couple days before Thanksgiving. We got some news and we moved into the holiday season kind of looking at each other just going, God, we need your help. We need you, Jesus. And I remember specifically thinking, man, my perspective has completely changed. And you know what I'm talking about when you go through a bad break or something hard and you just start really appreciating the little things, right? It just, your perspective changes. I remember waking up on Thanksgiving morning and I looked over at my beautiful wife and I said, I am so thankful for you. I am so thankful. And then I got up. It was early in the morning. I got up. And before I went down to make my coffee, I kind of peeked in. The kids were still sleeping. And I just said, I'm just so thankful for you kids. Lily's room and Gavin's room and Bryce's room. Then I went downstairs and made myself some coffee and looked out the window. And you should know our kitchen window faces east. And when the sun comes through, we really appreciate that, first of all, here in Seattle. When the sun comes through, we're happy, right? The sun came through, and it just, I tell my kids, I say, it's like a warm hug from God. It just feels, just warms you. It's wonderful. And so that morning, it happened to be sunny, and that sunshine came through that window, and it was the coolest thing, because I sensed God just telling me. It was just this inner sensing. Ryan, I'm so thankful for you. And you can't make this up, but like a really good Hallmark movie, Mom and Dad had come into town, and I all of a sudden, as I sensed that word, I feel her arms wrap around me. She had snuck downstairs, and she said, I'm so thankful for you. All day, that word kept coming, almost as if God was wanting me to know, I'm so thankful for you. Over and over, text messages from people. And we went to an outreach that day, and people would randomly stop and say, hey, Pastor Ryan, we are so thankful for you. What was that? That was Jesus showing up, beginning to unleash hope in what was a seemingly hopeless situation. That was Jesus as my help for today, for right now, for this moment, and my hope looking forward. Jesus calls out in this chapter to the unfulfilled Peter and an unsuccessful group of fishermen. And, hey there, have you any fish? Did you catch anything? Jesus shouts. No, Peter yells back, not realizing it's Jesus. He says, hopeless, just a whole lot of nothing. Jesus says this. I love this scripture. He says, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. This hopeless group of guys decided to listen to the encouragement and give it one more try, this time on the right side. Look at this. When they did obey his word, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number. 153, the Bible says. That's a good day. 153 fish. Hope started to rise in the disciples' eyes. I felt that on Thanksgiving morning. It's the same spirit in this chapter we read about of beginning to unleash. I felt that. Have you ever felt that? Has Jesus ever given you a sense of, you know, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I'm here. Try this, and you get a thought. You get a positive thought or an encouraging thought or put something in your spirit, and that leads you on to the right side where hope begins to unleash. 153 fish. Wow. But why the number 153? You got to understand, I'm a numbers guy. I get it from my dad. I'm a numbers guy. I love numbers. And I look at this and I say, why 153 fish? Now, some would say it's, you know, whatever, no big deal. Don't look into it any further. It's just a number. I believe everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Watch this. Some scholars, as I've read, they connect 153, that number, as a representation of every species of fish known at the time of Jesus, in correlation to the gospel being the hope of every class, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. That's what they connect that to. Others who were studied in Jewish traditions understand that the Hebrew letters are numbered individually in the text, okay? Every Hebrew letter has a number attached to it. So when we went to Israel, look at this. Can anybody read that, by the way? I couldn't read it either. Our guide is amazing. He was taking us through this in particular passage of scripture on one of the tours, and he unpacked this. Let me extrapolate this with you. So 153 is the numerical total of the Hebrew words. This is what it says. Ani Elohim. That's what that says. Ani Elohim. 153 is the numerical total of each. Remember, each letter is connected to a number. So Ani Elohim means I am God. So when Peter and the disciples happened to catch 153 fish, you know what Jesus was declaring over their situation? I'm God. You know, the same Jesus is declaring here today, whatever you're walking through, he's saying this to you right now. He's saying, I am God. I love how Isaiah articulates it. He says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I, say it with me, I am God, and there is no other. In a world of anxious people, there's anxiety all around us. Some here in us this morning with people crying, some of us in a fog, searching for significance, and like Peter, drifting in the bitter waters of discouragement. Jesus, our help for today, our hope for tomorrow, says, turn to me, I am God. Your second feeling, a call to come. Jesus is calling out to each of us today. Immediately after the miraculous catch of fish, 153, the sun began to rise in their eyes with hope in their hearts as one of the disciples shouts out, it's Jesus! It's Jesus! I mean, can you imagine the excitement when you realize that's him? Peter, emphatically, like the Olympian Michael Phelps, he jumps into the water. I'm so glad I didn't break any bones like my son. When I was planning this message, I thought, should I do that? That platform's a little high. And he swims with all his might. The Bible says it was about 100 yards out. He's just swimming. He's going like Michael Phelps as fast as he possibly can with all his energy. Not only does Peter feel the warm water around him, he feels the hope rising inside of him. He swims and he reaches the beachfront. Jesus waiting right there with a warm smile, like the dawning of a new day. Look at this picture with me. That's the spot right there, you guys. I took that picture when we were in Israel. Just imagine with me Jesus waiting right there, readily available. Peter gets up out of the water, dripping wet. He goes to his risen Lord and Savior. He cries tears of remorse. Have you ever cried? Have you ever felt overtaken by emotion? And Peter thinks to himself, he thinks, man, I don't know what's more profound, a God who is physically here, who was raised from the dead, or a God who raises hope while wiping my tears. And he catches every tear. The psalmist David said, he said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He also said, hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 16:11 says, there is, read it with me, fullness of joy in his presence, is what that scripture says. There's fullness in his presence. So you read further in this 21st chapter, and Jesus, we're going to call him Chef Jesus at this point, all right? Anybody who knows this story, and by the way, I love breakfast. This is another reason why this scripture just catches my attention. Let's go breakfast, brunch, and Brenner, I call it. I could have breakfast for every meal. I could just scramble the eggs, brew some coffee, we're golden. So Chef Jesus has prepared in this chapter, he's prepared a fire of burning coals. Just imagine what that smelled like, first of all. Just, man, that had to have been cool. Crackling. Oh, that fire is crackling with fresh fish and warm bread on it. With hope in his voice, Jesus says, come, let's have breakfast together. Come. I just want to spend some time with you. Come. I've made you a meal. And I can't help but think, my imagination runs wild. Did Jesus, you know, make the fire how you and I would, or did he just like, poof? My imagination runs wild. I mean, He made everything and anything, right? So that fish is cooking, and that bread, can you smell it with me? It just, poof. Come, let's have breakfast. This morning, can you hear him? Can you hear his spirit saying, come? Here's reflection. Will you listen? Will you respond to his call this morning as he's calling you to come? Here's what he's saying this morning. Look at this. He says, are you tired? Come on, Calvary. He's saying, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? He says this. He says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. It's a call to come. It's a call to come. Keep company with me, he says, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That right there sounds really good. I don't know if to anyone else in the house this morning, but keep company with me, Jesus says, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Yeah. Number three, a new beginning. It was a new beginning. You look at this chapter, and it was a new beginning. Peter articulates his help and his living hope. You know, you read later the text that Peter articulates this living hope. In 1 Peter, he says this. In his, speaking of Jesus, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living, say this with me, living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to ask you this morning, do you personally know Jesus, our help and our hope? Do you know him? Do you know him in your heart? Do you know his love? Do you know the joy that we've been talking about? Do you know his peace? You know, Jesus wants nothing more this morning than to know you and to be fully known. He embraces Peter in this text, just like he embraces us, just like he embraces you this morning, right where you're at. And he says this to Peter. He says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Do you truly love me more than these? Well, yes, Lord, Peter says. You know that I love you. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Now, you look at this text. Let me just extrapolate this real quick together. Some of you are scholars and you already know this. When I found this revelation out, it changed my life. The word love here, as we read it in English, is just, it's just love. Do you love? Yes, I love. Well, do you love? Yeah, I love. Love. But you've got to understand, when you look at the original language, this is awesome. When Jesus says, son of John, do you truly love me? Agapeo is the word there. Agapeo. Do you truly love me more than these? Well, yes, Lord, Peter says, you know that I love, phileo. It's a different word there for love. It's a different expression. You see, agapeo, the way Jesus asks it, it's a kind-heartedness. It's a friendship kind of love. It's, you know, I like to refer to it as head knowledge. Do you love me? Are you kind-heartedly for me, Peter? Phileo, Peter's response is, well, yes, Lord, I'm wholeheartedly. Phileo is a wholeheartedness. It's a sacrificial love It involves the mind, the will, the affections, the emotions. It's a heart experience. And Jesus asks, well, do you kind-heartedly love me? And Peter emphatically answers, no, Lord, I wholeheartedly love you. It just so strikes me that in this text, Jesus doesn't necessarily, he isn't looking for kind-hearted fans. Jesus is looking for wholehearted followers. Peter emphatically says, no, Lord, I wholeheartedly love you. Here's how I thought of it, okay? It's the difference between this. Put that picture up there for me. Man, I love a burger. We're supposed to go to this coming Saturday in our schedule. We're supposed to go to the Wilkinson's house, Dave and Karen, and he's going to be cooking burgers. Yeah, awesome. I love a good burger, right? There's a little place in my heart. You look at that picture. It's getting close to lunch. There's a little place in my heart for loving a charbroiled, medium well-done burger. Extra pickles, of course. Extra ketchup, mustard, all that good stuff. But there is zero room left over in my heart for anyone or anything else when it comes to loving Linnea. I love a burger, but I love Linnea. You get the difference? Linnea totally and completely has all of me. See, we use love so loosely. So when we read the text, we don't totally understand that what's going on there. But Peter is like, I am wholeheartedly in love with you. I am for you 100%. By the way, who was that guy with you in that picture? That was like I ate that guy. Where'd he go? I mean, what in the world? He had hair. He actually, he looked pretty good, but don't laugh. You're bald too. No. Like Peter, are you wholeheartedly in love with Jesus? Just check this morning. Let's just between you and him, just check your heart. Check your heart. Where are you at? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? I like to ask it this way. Does Jesus have a piece of your heart or does he have all of it? Jesus, here's what he's inviting us all to do. He says this. He says, follow me. It's simple. Follow me. Jesus makes himself most known, church, when we're following him. When we're in other words, relationship with him. But I've learned that following requires us to allow him to carry all of our baggage. Disappointments, discouragements, hurts, pains. I love this little picture. It says, hey, I've got your baggage. Now just follow me. Do you know anyone else? I think of it this way. Here's a crazy thought. Do you know anyone else in your life who's like, oh, you got baggage? I'll take it all. Put it on me. Like, give me all your discomforts and your pains and all your dysfunction. Put it. Yeah. Tell me more. Yeah, I'll clear my schedule and just unload on me. Just keep it coming. I don't know anybody like that. Except Jesus. Jesus actually wants that. Like, he's looking at you. He's going, yeah, like, bring it on. I'll take it for you. I just want you to follow me. I'll take it all. I'll take it all. It's a new beginning we read about in this chapter. You know, on March 10th, I'll close with this. March 10th was a really interesting day for me. So I go to bed. It was a normal night. Had dinner. Did all the things that we normally do with the kids and go to bed. And in the middle of the night, I wake up and the pain was horrendous in my stomach. I mean, it was like, I was laying there. I remember I'm laying in bed and when I woke up, I was like this. and I'm just making noise. And I'm just, oh, what is happening? Oh, my word. And then I didn't want to wake Lene up, so I try to get out of bed. And I'm just hunched over like this. And I get to the bathroom, and I won't reenact that. Don't worry. But nothing's happening. And I'm like, here. Yeah, you know, just anything. Come on. And she hears me. Lene hears me, and I'm just moaning. And she comes in with my glucometer because I'm living with type 1 diabetes. And she comes with the glucometer. She says, "Have you checked your sugar?" I go, "No." She goes, "Here, let's check your sugar." So I check my sugar, and I'm like in the 40s. And those who respond to no, that's not good. Normal sugar levels between 80 and 130, and I'm really low, dangerously low. So she's like, "I'll bring you some apple juice." So she brings apple juice, and I'm like, "I feel full. I can't fit anything in." She's like, "Just try to drink." So I drink it. Long story short, we do that 2-3 times, and it's dropping. It's still going down lower. Like orange juice, apple juice is supposed to get you up where you need to be. And so I'm just in pain. So finally, I'm kind of getting lightheaded. I make myself back into bed. I make my way back into bed. And I'm laying there. And I just said, I says, if I throw up or pass out, just call 911. Well, I kind of dozed off. And the next thing I realize, I opened my eyes. And there's Stamper. His little name badge. I'll never forget his name. First responder, Stamper. Ambulatory leader of, and there's his crew's there in my bedroom. I'm like, what is going on here? Who are you people? What? And Stamper, you know, and I realized, well, she called 911. You got, I never do that. Have you ever had to do something? You're just in a place you've never had to do before. And you, I don't do that. And I was just the shame, and I'm embarrassed, and it's just, ooh, I hate that. And it was like, it was like Jesus spoke through Stamper. He said, "You know what?" He goes, you look halfway healthy." He goes, "Sometimes you can do all the right things, and the wrong thing still happens." And it was so comforting to me. It was like Jesus was speaking through him. And so he then goes, we're going to need to take you to the hospital." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I can drive." And he's like, "No, you can't." He's like, "So the guys are, they're outside. They're going to get the gurney ready." I said, "Push pause button. Excuse me? You're going to get the what?" And the whole time, I'm, because, you know, because I don't care what people think, right? I'm thinking the whole time, are my neighbors seeing this? I just don't want them to see me in my robe and walking. Yeah. So I'm holding stamp. Anyway, get to the hospital for the next 24 hours or so, right? They ran tests. And the worst part, I got to tell you this, the worst part is when the nurse, she's so sweet. She's such a sweet. She comes in and she has like a cable about, it's like a tube about this long. She comes with a smile and she, I'm like, "Hey, good morning. Good to see you. What are you going to do with that?" And she's like, "Well, it's going to go in your nose." And I'm like, "Great. Good morning to you, too." So she, you know, 1, 2, 3. I'm like, "Don't count. Just do it." You know, 1, 2, 3. And I'm like, "Ah." I don't know if any of you ever had that happen. You probably didn't think that the candidate would be telling this on the SERP. Anyway, how did we get here, right? No. And so they put the tube in, and it's to try to get stuff out of the stomach and blah, blah, blah. We got a picture of that, by the way. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, please, no. Oh, my word. And so here's the cool thing. I got to tell you this. This is the whole point of the story. So I'm in the hospital bed. Lene had to go home. She got some stuff and was on her way back, and I'm there alone. And I'm reading through Scripture. And here's the scripture that stuck out to me. When all is said and done, the last word is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, let me just tell you right now. When I read this, I was waiting for the doctors to come and tell me. I mean, you know how it goes. Your imagination just runs wild. Do I have cancer? Am I dying? Like, is an alien growing in my stomach going to pop out? Like, what's going on? You know? And And so I read this scripture and I said, you know, even if they come in here and they said, you've got cancer and you're dying, that's not the last word. It's just not. The last word is God is there. It's John 21. He's there with Peter. It doesn't matter what Peter has been through. He is there with Peter. All he wants to do is be with you. So when all is said and done, whatever you're going through, if you've been through a bad break, you've got financial issues, things are going on in relationships like you didn't think, maybe someone you've been praying for years, you thought they were going to come to the Lord, and now they've fallen away again. Maybe you're in a conflict with a neighbor. Maybe there's issues, health issues you're dealing with, and you keep getting bad news. You're doing the right thing, but the wrong thing's happening, and all these things are happening when it's all said and done. God is with you. If you got a tube shoved up to your brain, he's right there with you. And he loves you so much. And this morning, he wants you to know that he loves you that much, that he will walk with you through the hardest times, through the most discouraging times. Because why? Jesus is help for today. He is hope. He's going to unleash hope in you for tomorrow. There's a lot of questions going on right now at Calvary. I know. I'm asking them too. What's next? Why? Where? When all is said and done, Calvary Christian Assembly, when all is said and done, Jesus wants us to know, you know what? I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. In the middle of pain, in the middle of problem, in the middle of pressure, does not matter. God is here. Would you stand with me this morning in the presence of the Lord? With every head bowed and eye closed, I want to give an opportunity this morning. I want to extend an invitation, and here's how we're going to do that. It's with every head bowed and eye closed. You know, people, men, women, boy, and girls, no matter what the age, people who don't have joy and peace, seemingly hopelessness in their life, people who don't have that in their heart, they don't have hope and joy and peace in their heart. You know what we do, men, women, boy, and girls? We go and we look for it in a million other places. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. Some of us in here are doing it in education or position or money or substance abuse or overeating or, I mean, whatever. We go and we look. We try to find joy and we try to find happiness. It's what we're after. You know what I've learned? And this is why I'm extending the invitation with every head bowed and eye closed. I'm extending this invitation to follow Jesus because in my personal life, that is the only thing that has given me hope. That is the only thing that has given me joy. Jesus. Jesus has a way of turning things around. Jesus has a way with a tube shoved up to your brain with letting you know it's going to be okay. I'm here with you. I love you. You're not alone. It's going to get better. Don't lose hope. It's going to get better. When all is said and done, I'm here right here with you. That's the same thing he was doing with Jesus, with Peter around a fire having fish and bread. He was doing what? Unleashing hope. This morning, if you want to follow Jesus with me, would you just throw your hand up real quick? And I just real quick. Throw it up and then put it back down. Thank you. Hands all over. Yep, yep, yep. And I want to just say a prayer with you. Good. Thank you. Every head bowed and eyes closed. And eyes closed this morning. Father, I pray you'd unleash hope right now. Linnea, if you'd come. Lord, I pray you'd unleash hope right now. And God, those that may be walking through who have visibly just showed me, so I know who to pray for. Thank you for their confidence and courage to put their hands up. Lord, I'm praying you would unleash hope in their life this morning. I pray, God, that you would do something supernatural as only you can do. And at the end of the day, Lord, all you want is to be with us, to be known, and to truly know. And so this morning, God, those that raised their hand and said, I'm following Jesus, and I'm believing for hope to be unleashed. Lord, would you do that in this moment? We pray in Jesus' name.